Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Any business owner at some time in his or her career must think about an exit strategy. But how do you prepare? When do you start? What happens after? What does retirement look like for a successful business owner? Our guest today is Eric Dutton, founder, ex-president, and ex-owner of Dutton Plumbing, which was one of the most successful plumbing companies in the USA. Eric Dutton, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity.
Hi, David. Glad to be here.
So this will now be the fourth time you've been on the podcast. You were our very first episode. You told us the Dutton Plumbing story. Then later in episode 39, it was five business rules, which were fantastic. And then in a subsequent episode, which was done right around the pandemic in 2020, episode 57, you talked about leadership in difficult times. You're talking about what you were doing to keep your team safe and to continue to provide service and yet manage to grow as well, which you did. So we've had a lot of great episodes with you. Pressure's on, man. You got to keep up the quality. But I'm really interested. Catch us up. What has happened since 2020? It's 4 years later. What happened?
Well, at that point, you know, I did sell the company and I continued to work until October 2021. At that point, I retired and that's about it. You know, I mean, I automatically thought, well, what's my next step? Where am I going next? What, you know, because I've always worked. I've never not worked. And talked to a few people, you know, I had non-compete I had to ride out, but.
Hold on a second. I want to roll back just a second because I went to your retirement party in October of 2021. Mm-hmm. And I think it might have been the biggest retirement party I've ever been to. People came from all over the country. You had a guy who used to work for you, drove in from Arizona, I think, an ex-manager, brought his family with him. You were a beloved guy, you know, and you sold the business and people came in a big way to honor you. It was a fantastic party. So you're always understating that kind of stuff. So I just felt like I needed to share all that with the audience. It was a great event and you were well honored there. Okay. Now back to whatever you were saying.
And I was flattered. I mean, I honestly did not prepare for that. I thought it was going to be just a quick meal, a quick lunch and just a little high five and see you later. I didn't realize that when you and Matt showed up, especially, I was flabbergasted. I really didn't know what to think. I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, I'm just a plumber and who are these people? It was just great. You know, Ken flew in from probably Scottsdale or wherever he was at. And it was amazing. I'm still so honored to have done business with such great people. And yeah, it was a little uncomfortable because, you know, I'm that guy, but I really was very, very flattered. It was amazing. It was good.
It was a great event. All right. So back to what you were talking about. You were saying that you retired, you had a non-compete, and you had to start thinking about what you were going to do next.
Yeah. And I think I figured it out right in the middle of it right now, just basically staying retired, you know, after talking to quite a few people, different opportunities, and some were interesting, most weren't. And I found that I don't want to work for somebody. I don't think I really realized that until after just maybe about a year ago. But when I was in the, you know, the 2 year period of working under the new owner, I thought I was having a good time and I thought I felt connected and engaged. But looking back, I wasn't as much as I should have. And I feel guilty with that because I really wanted to do my best for them. And we did okay. But yeah, it's hard, David, when you only work for yourself, basically your whole life, having to work with somebody else or for somebody else really is what it would boil down to, or start over, right? So those are the options. And if I was going to start over, why would I have stopped in the first place? So that's kind of where I'm at. So I didn't find that happy spot that interested me, you know?
So talk to me about this. You told me one time that it was kind of a period of readjustment for you. You know, you've always worked. You've worked since you were, what, 10 or 12 or something like that. You started out in plumbing at a pretty young age and you've run your own business. You've been very engaged. You've been very successful. And then you quit, you know, you stop. What was that like for you?
It was tough. Honestly, you know, people think, wow, I'll wake up tomorrow and put on the flip-flops and the tank top and just start doing that whole summer vacation type thing you used to do as a kid. And I found myself getting up real early and starting to look for things to do, stay really busy. I have a sizable piece of property, so I buried myself into that, working on the property and getting the list of things together that I have to accomplish. And it was a kind of a guilty thing. And I don't think I ever got that, you know, relaxation, that thing of, ah, here I am, right? So don't know if that exists. I still always stay pretty busy. And I just, you know, it's just constantly finding that comfortable spot, right? So I know several people, a lot of people in the industry, many of them have sold or retired at different degrees, and most of them stay in it. You know, they stay either acquiring companies or being involved with different things like that. And it's kind of, I guess, the different personalities, you know. I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I liked it the way I was doing it. That's why I did it for myself. And I don't know that I want to do it another way. Not that I'm, you know, locked in and narrow-minded. I'm very open-minded, but it's either I start something again on my own. It would probably be in the trades, you know, plumbing, that's what I do. But again, it makes no sense to have stopped and then start again. You know, why would I get rid of all that momentum I had just to start back where the hard stuff is, you know?
Yeah. And it's also fundamentally a change of attitude about it all, right? I mean, you're at a point where it's not so much the financial gain. The financial part of it is kind of how you keep score and you know that it's working. And, you know, we all like, I don't know, there's just something about us. We like to have money coming in, even if we don't need it. But it's different than when you were starting the business and, man, you just had to make it go because that's how you were going to put food on the table.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you know, long days, no, you know, weekends, working weekends, whatever it took, you know, whenever something happened, you don't fold, you don't cry and curl up in the corner, make it go away. No, you dig in and you get it done. And I've always done that. And yeah, it's the difference. I think that's the, I mean, as far as my opinion, what separates, you know, people who acquire and succeed as opposed to those who don't. So many people are so quick to be victims and, you know, make excuses. Well, I can't do that. It won't work. You know, it's not my fault. It's not my responsibility. But that is really kind of loser talk, you know, you go nowhere with that. So I'm lucky that I've always been a doer, get things done.
So talk me through an average day in your life now that you get up around noon. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know,
What do you do? Are you out saving the world from hunger or something?
Well, I have a canned answer for that. So when I turn on my phone, you can go, you know, swipe over and you get to your calendar and it says nothing planned, nothing planned, nothing planned. So I'll text a picture of that to people. But people say, well, tell me about your day. I said, well, you know, get up 10:30, 11, get a quick breakfast, then, you know, take a quick nap, get up around 12:30, and then, you know, got to go to lunch and then
come
back
to lunch. Yeah.
Then come back, have another nap. Then happy hour starts. So you got to have a glass of wine or two, and then it's dinner time. And then by God, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock, man, you're beat. You got to go to bed. So that's what I tell everybody. Of course, that's not true, but it sounds like fun.
That's not at all what happens in your life.
No. And my wife also not working. She's retired, which I mean, she was working after I retired. She wanted to continue with her career until she got to a certain point. So she had a goal. And when she hit that, now she's home, and that's a whole new dynamic. So yeah, days of her asking, when am I going to do this? Can you do this? And just her request. So that cost me a lot of money because remodeling, you know, it's like, what's wrong with that side of the house? It's great. It's paid for. No, start remodeling. So we've had a lot of that going on, some traveling, you know, I just always hold the purse strings. I'm very frugal. I mean, I'll waste money like anybody, but I'm not one to blow money. You know, I've got plenty of it, and that's not the point. My goal is to die richer than I am, right? And, you know, leave money for my kids and grandkids. That'd be great. And I think my wife's goal is to spend every penny. So we got to find that balance. So that's my job, is being told what I need to do for the day and then reminded when I don't do it right. It's great. I love it.
So one of the things I always enjoyed about you were your Ericisms. You had this whole long list of Ericisms that you had collected over the years, and it was great to read through them. So I'm curious, have you continued to add to that list now that you're retired, or have you dropped it?
Well, I'll never drop it, of course, but I will admit that I have not really added to it. You know, it seems like when I was working, a big thing for me was always evolving, right? And improving, trying new things. It was always, ever evolving, right? So that stimulates something in your brain. And then I'm always looking for things. I'm a simple guy. So there's always these things that pop into my mind. I think I had like 63 Ericisms, as I recall. And I have reviewed them from time to time. And, you know, it makes me laugh because there's always humor in my stuff. But, you know, it's just a way I had of not justifying, but understanding humanity, right? A lot of it boils down to how people act. And sometimes there's not a real clear reason for that. So that's where my Ericism started, you know, and just kind of crazy, oddball, common sense sayings. And but I haven't really been digging into that too much. Maybe I'm just not as creative as I was, or...
I think you use them to inform and also amuse people that you worked with.
Right.
I think that was a lot of it. That's the sense I had from them. They were sort of like business lessons and life lessons, but they were also funny. And so I think that if you're the president of a large company, as you were, that having those and being able to share them with other people kind of informs the culture. And it also tells them about what you think is important, and it passes on some of the life and business lessons to them. So I think you probably just haven't had as much an opportunity to create those and use them as you did in the past.
Yeah, well said. I have a sense of humor. It's just who I am. So that kind of translated through the company. It was in our marketing. Our marketing was full of entertainment and humor, which I think is why it was so dynamic. It works so well. And it, you know, it's just who I am. So it spreads through the company and into my Ericisms, you know. I always want to be known for my sense of humor because that's who I am. That's one of my strong suits.
So do you have a favorite in your Ericisms? One or two that you just really enjoy?
There's one that I like, and I believe I used it at my retirement party because it's what I really like, is when life gives you lemons, make lemon-scented napalm, right? which means dig in, you know? And I've always been that guy where, you know, and again, I remember back in earlier days when it was myself and a few guys being out at 2 a.m. knee deep in mud, trying to fix a pipe that's, you know, and it's like, I could cry and I can't do it. I got to leave. No, get in there, get it done. And it's kind of what I've always said, you know, I don't want to make lemonade. That doesn't sound like me, you know, just get down and get busy. So that's one of my favorites. And there's a lot that, you know, are probably inappropriate. So, you know, let me see if I can. Oh, there we go. I found them on my phone. Of course, I keep them handy. God, I'd be here all day going through these because they're all so good. Live full, die empty, right? I think that was probably not my original. Yeah, but that's, and I'll be honest, most of these are things I hear. Quite a few I've created or modified, but it's just cool stuff, you know? Dream big, but work hard. A fool can defend his mistakes, and most fools do. yeah. I like the fool ones. You know, there's one, and these are all stuff. I mean, one I used the other day is, I'd rather be quiet and be thought a fool than open my mouth and eliminate all doubt. So, yeah, those are fun. Those are fun. I spend a lot of time on my Ericisms.
They are good. They're funny. They're also thought-provoking, and they provide good business and life lessons. So let me ask you this. Thinking back over your exit of the company and moving into retirement, so you've been through that now, what would you tell somebody who's thinking about it? If someone were like late to mid-career, they're thinking, hey, 3 years from now, if I do the right things, I should be able to sell this company. What would you tell them to be thinking about?
Optimizing, get rid of the fat, you know, think of profitability, and it's got to be sustainable. So what would be different if you pulled yourself out of the company? How could that not affect its success? And I think a lot of owners, me included, were such a part of it. And I really tried over the last several, probably the last 4 or 5 years in business to pull myself out a little bit and empower my managers more. Now doing that, you got to be careful about that because at first I did a really quick and we had some hiccups, right? I had to come back in and then you're worried about the managers think you're micromanaging them. So that creates another problem. It's a real maze. It is. So do it slow. Start as early as you can. And I honestly used to say, people say, hey, when are you going to retire? And I think from my mid 50s, I would say, well, you know, I don't know. Never thought about it. But then when I kind of was pressed to, you know, you ought to create a succession plan. Well, okay, that makes sense. So I was, you know, mid to late 50s. And so I said, yeah, 3 to 5 years, 3 to 5 years. I'd say that every year. And I honestly dabbled with it. Once I decided, I had a valuation done of the company. And I think once I decided that it's okay to do that, it changed me mentally with how I saw the company because I really considered it a part of my family. It's like one of my kids, you know, it really was. And the fact that I was willing to sell it, it kind of took, I don't know, I think it created a problem in my leadership style. I think I didn't believe my own BS for a while there. I think, oh, wait a second. Do I really believe in the brand? Do I really believe in all this stuff I was always excited about and really driven by if I'm willing to sell it for money? And you got to prepare for that. So I would say the best way to operate is get your head around that if that's how you feel and try to evolve to a point of it's a business, you know, and not take it personally. So that was hard for me to separate. It really was. And I think the longer you plan that and are very deliberate about it, the better off you'll be. Now, there's lots of guys that I know quite a few that start their businesses and build them with intent to sell. So that's their whole goal. And it's a great model, believe me, because that's how you get private planes and you get really a lot of money by doing that and that mentality. So it may not be as dynamic. You may not have the culture and all that that companies like mine had, but you got a lot more money in the bank. You know, it's easier to build that equity and have a real exciting exit. That's, I think the only advice I would give is you have to do it eventually if you have a sizable company. You don't want to be that 75-year-old guy, you know, bubbling around the office, you know, shaking your cane at people saying, back in my day, we used to do it this way. Honestly, the 2 years I was there working for Ken, it was like I was on board. I was trying, but there was some little bit of conflict, you know, because we were supposed to run it under my brand. Of course, it's hard to when you're part of a bigger brand. It just is a natural problem there. But I really did drink their Kool-Aid as much as I could without totally imploding the operation, right? So it was tough to balance that. But honestly, even as an employee, technically, and again, he's real good about you're not my employee, you're my partner. And truly, truly means it and lives it. And it really made it easier. But I really did enjoy, I learned a lot working those 2 years. And I think it was a good time. I saw a lot of things. I was very impressed with our operation. If you're in business and you've got a sizable company that has value, you owe it to yourself, your family to start planning that as early as possible. I mean, 10 years early, you know, if you can, and really plot it out, figure out where you want to go, set the goal and have that mindset, have a good structure, some good managers, even some equity for these people if they're going to be the ones helping you get it over the sort of the goal line and just do it right. Do it right. Don't wait till the last minute when maybe there's a health issue or there's some other economic implosion that you're trying to recover from, then you have no chance of succeeding. So early planning and do it right.
Would part of it also be thinking about what you want to do after?
For me, no. I would have been distracted by that. And again, I do plan things out. I'm pretty organized, but I also ready, fire, aim kind of guy. And I prefer to one task at a time. I like to laser focus on. So you're going through a sale. You want to make a sell your company. You want to build it the right way. Do that first. And then maybe even get a deal set up. Then start thinking about what you're going to do. You know, it's a big deal, right? It's a big, big, important thing to do. So I wouldn't overthink the what's next, because that'll take care of itself. It really will. I would say just make sure you're ready for it. Don't do it too early, unless you're planning on staying on and keeping either with the new company or starting something new. And there's tons of guys in Service Station Alliance who've done that. Yeah, build, sell, and that's great. If you have that talent, energy, and that youth, get on it, you know, and start doing that. That's, I can see a real lucrative way to make tons of money.
Years ago, you shared with me that you had a coach. Would you mind talking about that a little bit, what that did for you and what you would tell other people if they were going to do something like that to make it more effective?
That's funny you said that, because I was thinking about that. I stopped the coaching probably maybe just a year ago. I had changed to a different coach. The girl I was using moved on, and the new one I never built a rapport with. And then I thought, you know, it's expensive as hell. And I'm thinking, well, you know, as a business expense, I could, in my mind, here's me. Yeah. I could justify it as a business expense. Now everything comes out of my pocket. So it's so different. And I probably shouldn't think that way. But, and I thought, well, and I did it primarily, the motivation was for business, but it's basically boils down to your self-improvement, which translates into everything. So I think any positive motivational material, whether it's Tony Robbins or anybody, is great. It's all attitude, you know, and that's what I realized today. It's, we create our own destiny. So, and I look at my Ericism, same thing. That's kind of what that's about. Where your focus goes, your energy flows. That's a Tony Robbins quote that I love. And if you think it won't work, guess what? It won't work. If you know it will work, it'll work. It does. It really does. And it doesn't hit the exact mark. At least it got you closer. And then the next swing, you hit the ball, right? So love Tony Robbins. I really do. I think it's, you get yourself motivated and you get fired up and you get excited. It's amazing. A quote of Dale Steele, a friend of mine, you're as successful as you are excited. And he's a phenomenal salesman. Great, great guy. And that was something that always stuck in my mind. And it's true. It's all about positive excitement and energy, because if you get that going, you get that vibe. You look at any good salesman, they're always upbeat, positive, sometimes a little annoying, but there's something about them, right? And you got to have that in life, man, because it's all about sales. You're selling everything. You're selling your relationships, your friendships. I mean, people, you know, want to do business with people they like. And it goes down from business all the way down to friends. You know, you got to have a positive drive, upbeat drive. And that's kind of all Tony Robbins talks about, is just, it's all about positive and visualization, right? It's, you can think, oh, it'll never work. I can't do it. And you guess what? It won't work and you won't do it. It's your choice. So success is a choice. It really is.
How long were you with the Tony Robbins coaches?
Several years. One of my managers who was really into it. And then we actually did the business mastery, which is a 6-day Tony Robbins thing, you know, like 16 hours a day back to back. Yeah. And it's, you know what? Full of exciting, upbeat music and just high-fiving, jumping around like a bunch of idiots. But it really, I kid when I say that, because your energy is so high. Yeah. I was there 6 days straight, these long, grueling days. I was pumped, excited, came back from there so ready, you know. And even the smaller ones, Unleash the Power Within, which are more of the personal seminars, are 3 days. Nothing you can do more exciting. Anyway, so he was into it. And I kind of thought, look, this guy's a snake oil salesman. I get it. But then I realized I used to listen to Tony Robbins on cassettes when I was driving to service calls, right? Back in cassette days. Yeah. So I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm being a hypocrite here. So I said, let me get into it. So I got the coach, and they have their templates. They can, you know, get you started and get through some good exercises to get your mind right, and helped me a lot. It really did. And I highly recommend it. Go to one of the UPWs, the Unleash the Power Within, and sign up for some coaching. You can't go wrong with it, especially if you expense it.
Well, Eric, this has been terrific. Have I missed anything? Is there something I should have asked you that I didn't?
I think kind of when we talked before, it was kind of what to expect when you retire. And it's hard to put that into, you know, a real accurate definition, because it's just a lot of feelings, you know, a lot of feelings. And I think that was, for me, it's some confusion, some uncertainty, knowing that, hey, my bills are paid, I'm good, everything's going to be fine, but the sort of, you're a bit adrift, right? So I've had some fun stuff. I've gotten involved, you know, with my kids, helping them out in their journeys, getting property and helping them, you know, build a life for themselves. And I have two grandkids now that are amazing. It's good stuff like that. And, you know, having fun, just, you know, I live in an interesting neighborhood. So we have get together with some of the neighbors. We're always doing little parties or dinners or whatever. It's kind of sounds boring, but it's fun, you know, and working around my property. It's crazy how you can really find a sense of purpose and relaxation driving a piece of equipment or a tractor, you know, doing the dumbest things and feeling like you've done a day's work. You know, I think that's for me, the transition is feeling busy, feeling like you have purpose, of course. One thing too, I wanted to say is the big thing is the significance, right? So if you're in business, and I was pretty involved, different groups and always mentoring people doing that. So I had a sense of significance, you know, and the brand of my company was so strong in our area that, you know, using my name in public was getting a lot of recognition. So and I never thought, at first I thought that was embarrassing. I thought, that's not me. It's not my personality. I don't need that. It's every vehicle had my name on it, you know, 10 foot wide. So it's, so yeah, I'm the shy guy. But having that significance sort of melt away, you know, and I think I told you the other day when I was having some work done on my house, when, just before we talked, the guy recognized the name and he was so he's honored to work on my home. And I was very, oh my God, that was so flattering that I haven't heard that in a while. And then I get a call from you to wanting to do this. And I go, wow, hey, I know who I am. I am Eric Dan Dutton. Look out, you know. But that, you know, that's so those little moments of significance, I didn't realize how much you missed that. So that's, I think, a big deal, right? So our egos are sensitive. I felt when you're in that position for so long, you don't notice it. I never realize it until it's gone or somewhat gone. And then when you get an opportunity to experience it in little bursts like I did last week, you notice it. That's what I realized, that yes, I do miss being significant and having a sense of, you know, I'm not going to say celebrity, but you know, I guess that would be the word. But that's another one you have to get used to when you're involved with like Service Nation and you're doing a lot of activities in the trades or local marketing and a lot of community involvement under your brand. And again, those big bright yellow trucks of mine that are, you know, billboards driving all over the place, having that branding on your community, because that's gone now. New owners changed the brand because of their goals with spreading their brand across the country. So they had to dissolve what I built for over the decades. And, you know, a pity, but that was their call. Yeah. So that's a big one too, mentally getting ready for being a civilian, so to speak. You know, that was tricky. It felt good at first. It felt, I'm anonymous now. No more calls from the contractors board or the, you know, screening customers, you know, where I want to speak to the owner. And I would talk to people like that. And they'd always calm down. It was actually kind of neat because I realized I could do that. But knowing that no one's going to be yelling at me, it's kind of nice. except for my wife, and she deserves it. So, yeah, she puts up with me.
All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for doing this. This is absolutely terrific. It's been so great to catch up with you. And thank you for being willing to be on the podcast 4 times. And you've made a real contribution here, and I sincerely appreciate it. And besides that, it's just fun talking to you.
Well, you make it easy, David. I mentioned to you that I'm not good at preparing. I kind of go from the hip, and you make it easy because you, I think, understand how I think. And feel free to edit, by the way. Yes, eliminate about 60% of this. And, I enjoy it. I look forward to it, and always glad to help. And I'm always here if you need me.
Hi, this is David again. 3 quick notes. 1, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. 2, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. 3, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.